relationship with the narcissist, everything's always about the narcissist, isn't it? It's confusing, it's exhausting, and when you finally get it together and you get the hell out of there, or unfortunately they leave you, either way, you start feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm finally going to be able to take the steps I need to really get my life in order and make it what I want it to be, right? But no, narcissists don't allow that to happen. Not very easily anyway. So look, I realize this is kind of an exciting or upsetting time depending on whether you left or they left you. But it's also a dangerous time because while you can certainly begin your life over again and really get things to become what you want them to be, it's also really important to be aware and to prepare for the things that might be coming down the road when you break up with or divorce a narcissist. In addition to the normal ups and downs of divorce or breakups, you're dealing with an emotional manipulator. You're dealing with someone who absolutely has no qualms about breaking your heart, stomping on your feelings again and again and again, and shocking you almost every time. But here's the good news, my friend. If you take the time to understand how all that works, understand the patterns, understand the behaviors, and know what to expect, you might get through it a little easier. That's exactly what we're talking about today at queenbeing.com. So let's get started. Closed captioning provided by Athena Moberg and CPTSDFoundation.org. My name is Angie Atkinson, and on this channel, I offer free daily video coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. So if that sounds good to you, hit that subscribe button and let's get going.
We're going to start off talking today about the no contact non-negotiables. Basically, what that comes down to is that when you go no contact with a narcissist, you end all contact with that person. And you do this by, number one, you stop taking the narcissist's phone calls. Number two, you block them on social media networks. Number three, you do not encourage or schedule visits with them. And number four, you stop seeing, speaking to, and otherwise interacting with the narcissist. Now, if you have children together, this might be slightly different. You may end up doing what they call parallel parenting and low contact, which means you only engage with the narcissist in regard to your children and the business of raising them or picking up or dropping off. You don't engage on any emotional level. I wanted to share this before I dig into the video, just in case you're new around here and you weren't familiar with that term, no contact. So what exactly are some things you can expect from a narcissist after no contact? Well, let's talk about it.
Number one, they hoover. Narcissists love to suck you back in. And you're thinking, well, they don't even want me. They made it real clear to me. Or they're already doing this or that or the other. Doesn't matter. They're going to suck you back in. Even if they've moved on, they've gotten remarried, or they're dating a new person now, they will still hoover you for years if you allow them to. So they're going to do whatever they can to pull you back into their drama. And if you have been previously romantically involved with them, back into their bed. Number two, you're going to have to worry about obsessing. Now, this is going to happen on your end, of course. You're going to obsess about what could I have done better? What could I change? What could I do better next time? How do I watch for the red flags? And da 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 da. You're going to go through that. But the narcissist is going to obsess about you. That's what's going to happen usually right before the Hoover phase or right before the smear campaign. What's going to happen is the narcissist is going to tell a lot of stories to try to get sympathy and attention, and often in order to bring in a new supply, whether it's another romantic partner or it's a parent or it's a friend or it's someone else. They're going to need someone else to get their supply from now that they've left you or you've left them. That's why, number three, they run the smear campaign. So my advice here is don't sit around and focus too long on analyzing the narcissist's behavior. Don't focus too long on letting the narcissist be connected to you after the breakup, because the more access you give them, the less likely they are to go away and move on. So number three, smear campaigns. This is where they walk around and they tell everybody they know what a horrible person you are and how you hurt them, and often they project their own bad behaviors onto you. So if they were cheating, they tell everybody you were cheating. If they were beating the crap out of you every day, they tell everybody you were beating the crap out of them every day. And this goes on and on. People start to believe the narcissist, and pretty soon you know who your real friends are, because your real friends would never believe those things about you. But strangers and people who are acquaintances and sometimes people you thought were your friends will believe the narcissist and take the narcissist's side. And that, my friend, is rough stuff. But it happens. And I guess on the positive side, at least you know who your real friends are. Number four kind of goes along with the smear campaign. And it's that narcissists don't go quietly. So they're going to smear campaign you. And then they're going to tell everybody. And they're going to game play you. They're going to do everything they can to really impact your life in a negative way most of the time. They will abuse you to the point where your psychological wounds become increasingly serious. It's common, and sometimes it's worse. Sometimes they go so far as to physically abuse you where they didn't before. So be aware of this and keep yourself safe. Don't be afraid afraid to call the police if they show up at your house in the middle of the night or something. This brings me to number 5. Narcissists are all about winning. They don't care if your kids are negatively affected. They don't care if they lose everything in the process. They just want to win the relationship. They need to be validated. They need to be proven right. They'll fight you for custody even if they don't want the kids. They will try to keep the house even if they know they don't want the house. They're just going to move out of it, or they're going to sell it. The truth of what really happened between the two of you will only come out of your mouth, if it comes out of anyone's, because the narcissist cannot ever even admit the truth to him or herself. You have to remember, narcissists, they have no empathy, so they don't care how they're making you feel. And above all, they just want to win. And, as always, they don't give a crap about the consequences for their own behavior because they don't accept responsibility. Narcissists are going to do their very best to make you play the game with them. This brings me to number 6. Narcissists want to keep playing the game, and they're going to do everything they can to suck you into it. So it does not matter how the breakup happened. It doesn't matter where the divorce came from. It doesn't matter if they literally left you for another person or if you literally walked in on them having sex with your best friend on your bed in your house. It doesn't matter, because they will be like, I'm the victim. They will walk around telling everyone, like I said in number 3, smear campaigning. That's how they roll. They will say things to you like, why are you doing this to me? And inevitably, you will be the one wearing the big red blame sticker. Of course, anytime you try to address any issues, you think to yourself, okay, well, maybe we can work it out. Maybe they understand now. You know, you try to address those issues, and the narcissist inevitably will flip it all back around, do the narcissistic flip on you, and within moments or seconds of that conversation, as soon as they begin to feel uncomfortable, they start pointing out things that are wrong with you. You become the problem, and then they say things to you like, well, I'll do that if you promise that you will never ever again, you know, leave trash in the kitchen or whatever. They start picking at tiny things and pulling you apart and looking for ways to make it about them being the victim and not you. And their flying monkeys sometimes, especially those willing flying monkeys, will come in with them on this and play this game. This is seen a lot of times with a narcissistic mother. When a narcissistic mother has a golden child and the golden child gets married and is a narcissist, this type of dynamic is often seen with the two of them ganging up on the victim or the supply during the divorce. The I still want to be friends game is most often played by narcissists. Basically, according to a study done at Oakland University, people who want to be friends after they break up tend to be those of the darker personality trait, like narcissists and psychopaths. Sociopaths are more likely to choose friends for strategic reasons as opposed to just to be friends, and that they prefer short-term relationships. Abusive narcissists are very commonly doing the no contact or the silent treatment thing. See, whether they recognize it consciously or not, narcissists are sort of wired to push your buttons in order to get what they want. We're going to talk about the narcissistic whirl. So let me just define what I mean by the narcissistic whirl. It's when a narcissist goes up and down, hot and cold, and sometimes it's almost like they're tagging in their nicer twin or their more emotional self. Stalking. Some narcissists, especially those on the higher end of the scale, tend to stalk us when we leave or even when they leave us. I hear this from viewers, readers, clients regularly. So this brings me to the question of the day. Question of the day. And the question of the day is,
could you relate to the items on my list? Have you gone no contact with a narcissist before? And which things did your narcissist do after you went no contact, whether they're on this list or not?
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. I can't wait to hear what you think about this one. All right, now I want to offer a quick shout out to my amazing channel members. Take a look. I really appreciate that you took a chance on me and that you're here supporting my mission here at YouTube to help survivors of narcissistic abuse discover, understand, and overcome their situations so that they can evolve and become the people they truly want to be. Thank you. It means so much to me. My awesome channel members and inner circle include
Angela Falsetta, Susan Marion, Roxanne Antle, Deborah, Lorenzo D, Life's Revival, Trisha Wolf, James F, Marlene, Jen Archer, Sarah Lee, Patricia Keenum, Delilah DeBalsack, and Darla Burke.
Thank you so much. All right, that's all I've got for right now. But as always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right down there. And remember, you're never alone. You always have your spanily. I'll see you soon.